Welcome back to another episode, another round, an episode of another round at Sweet Shots. Lucas Johnson, Chuck Johnson, Mark Johnson back in the booth. Nick Johnson decided he was going to take this opportunity and, you know, hopefully watch one of the best
Go cheer on the Timberwolves.
Minnesota sports chances we've had in a while.
Person, yep.
In person, the Timberwolves. Hope it's high. It was a good first game.
Great
I don't
game.
Know if you guys watched that first game. But
yep. I've actually been watching NBA.
Certainly certainly gives hope to what seems like a hopeless Minnesota. So
that Edwards is pretty good.
He is, I don't know if I want to say generational talent, but yes, he is fun to watch.
Yep.
Fun to watch.
Agreed.
I used to have the stat off the top of my head, but I think we're the longest state with the longest running drought franchise across all sports for major championships, sports.
Yeah,
major championships.
That's right.
When did Minnesota win something?
Well, the World Series.
Oh, World Series. Yep, 91.
But they're not including the women NBA because we've had multiple championships and with the Lynx.
Lynx are good. Okay. Yeah, I think they're talking MLB, NHL, NFL, and NBA.
That's right.
Yeah, like your traditional major sports.
Where that's right. Most states have all four, but we're the longest running since
91. That's brutal.
And then you go like to the University of Minnesota and Big Ten championships.
It gets worse.
It's worse. Mm-hmm. Like in football, I think every other Big Ten school has won multiple titles.
That sounds right.
Without the Gophers winning one.
Title.
Yep. And then you watch NHL. I don't know if you guys have started or seen any of the NHL playoffs right now. And the state of hockey, we can't even make the playoffs.
We're so middle tier.
Brutal.
It's always middle tier. There's never, and we got, Krill was supposed to be the guy. He was going to drag us out of that. Then we got Boldy, and then you got
actually
the kid from Minnesota.
We had the longest running streak of making the playoffs of any team. We just didn't do anything.
You can't get past the first
is one round. And done. Mm-hmm. But actually, if you go back and look at the stats, they had the longest active making the playoff streak. So how quickly we forget. But they've done nothing in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, ever. That's just it. When you live in a perpetual hopelessness for sports, you feel like everything's the worst. And then you get, what was I going to say? Well, I don't know if you watched the hockey at all, but Toronto.
I did.
They're making fun of Toronto right now. They got absolutely pumped by the Bruins the first round or the first game.
They won last night, though.
5-1, did they?
They did, yep.
Because then they came back. They had like an optional practice, which if you get pumped and you say you have an optional practice, you better show up.
Yeah, I would think so.
Seven guys showed up.
Is that all?
That's all that showed up. They just had seven guys on their 24 minutes. Yeah, it was optional. For professional sports after getting pumped, you would think. Hmm. But
wasn't it Boston last year? They had the most winning, record-setting
regular season.
Right. And they were out in the first round?
Yep.
Yep.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm fine with that. I'm not a Boston guy.
Marchand, they win. Those guys. They win too much.
Yeah, they're
just Boston in general.
They're full of themselves.
Yeah. Yep.
I was out there for the Boston Marathon in 2015, and I went into a convenience store to get some Gatorade. And for some reason, I don't know if I had something Minnesota on or from my accent, but this smart aleck behind the counter, the guy, he was in his 60s, 70s. Where are you from? And I said, Minnesota. They got a football team there? I went, yeah, we got foot. And I didn't. And I realized what he was doing. He's just, he has New England.
Poking you a little bit.
He has New England Patriots shirt on or whatever. And it's like, yeah, good we one. Got football.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's, I've never been, I got a couple buddies that were Patriots fans that hopped out because of Tom Brady. It's like annoying.
Agreed.
Just win too much. And then, it's championship season right now, I think is what they call it now. You got Kentucky Derby is Saturday.
First Saturday in May.
And then you
must be a week from Saturday.
Is it? I think it's the first Saturday in May.
It is always first Saturday.
Yep.
You like to throw some money on the ponies.
I do. I love that. That's
when do you start like scouting? Are you just like that day?
Nope. The week of.
The week of?
Yep.
A lot of articles out there. He started scouting last summer at the North Dakota Horse Park.
Watching the one-year-olds run, looking for that great-looking two-year-old.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just the up-and-comer.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then you got NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. You've got NFL draft comes up. That's not really a championship. That's Thursday. Then you got golf's being played. You got another major championship coming up in May. Mm-hmm. PGA at Valhalla. And then what else goes on? The Olympics creeping up? Those are in June, aren't they?
June, I think. What do you suppose it'd be to put money on Chef to win all the majors? Are you going to make some pretty good money?
I just looked at this. Scheffler to win all four majors is plus 6,000 odds.
I would take that.
What does that mean?
So if you put $10 down, you would win 600.
Yep. 100 to win 6,000.
Yep. Can we do that at Dakota Magic?
If they have that bet. It's this one came from one of the sports books, like a DraftKings or a FanDuel sports book. And it's the funny thing about it, at plus 6,000 odds to win all four majors, that's the same odds that Sam Burns has to win just the PGA Championship.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
isn't that crazy? You're telling a guy's gonna he's got a better chance to win all four tournaments, major tournaments.
Right.
I mean, essentially it's better odds to win four tournaments. It's the same odds, but then for one guy to win one tournament, Sam Burns is no slouch.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, just to jump into a little Scheffler, we're witnessing something that has not been the case since Tiger.
Right.
And I remember, you know, when Tiger was on his streak. I don't know when that was. We could look it up, 08 or whatever it was. Where
I think 2000 was his best year.
Okay. Was it 2000? Yeah. Okay. I mean, look, like every time he teed it up,
yeah,
he was going to win.
Yep.
And I know Sam Snead did something like that, but it was kind of during the war era. So you could argue, you know, that
not competition as many, wasn't
yeah,
there.
Yeah, people weren't playing, et cetera, et cetera. But there was a period of time when Tiger teed it up, and you're like, well, yeah, how many is he going to win by? I mean, this isn't even fair. And that's the same situation we're seeing right now.
I think Scotty, I saw, was the first person to win multiple, like four events by more than five shots every time. Because he's won by at least four shots in the last four, five he's won.
Which is not easy to do on the PGA Tour. These guys are phenomenal, and he's separating himself that much.
Yeah.
It's now, there's going to be a big change in his life. They are having a child in the next couple weeks. It will be very interesting to see how that affects him.
Agreed.
And he's already come out and said that once he has his kid, golf is going to be number four in his life.
Four. Break it down for
me, would
you, please?
I believe first one, he's a very faith-filled man, so I believe the first one's, it's like, okay. You know, the stereo, I think God, family, and then maybe his daughter goes in there, and then it's golf or something like that. I forget what the second one is, but he is certainly not by any means putting all his eggs. He's come out and said golf is something that he does, not his life.
Doesn't want it to identify him.
Yep. Which is crazy to think that the best player in the world is ready to just be like, it's fourth.
Well, maybe that's part of his secret.
Yeah.
Maybe it is.
Not as much pressure.
His state of mind. And then what if he kind of knows, hey, once I have a baby, things are going to change. So he is just playing fast and free right now.
Yeah, he's just firing at everything. Well, he should. The guys made it. So this is my stat I was going to get into, is Scotty Scheffler, his last 60 events. 60 starts.
Okay.
Scotty Scheffler has 11 wins, 33 top fives, 40 top tens, 52 top 25s, 3 missed cuts. Mm. He's had 147 rounds in the 60s, and he's 659 under par in 60 starts. So it's about a year and a half.
You can't
comprehend
it.
All of that equates to $63.3 million earned.
Wow.
In the last year and a half or whatever, 60 events. How many events do they play normally?
I don't know.
That's going every week.
What? But did you say four missed cuts?
Three.
That actually surprises me.
Well, and I think that was before he switched caddies.
Between,
this was back in the day.
Well, that would have been before probably his wins at Phoenix.
Yeah.
Because once he won at the Waste Management, the floodgates opened and he was off to the races.
Right.
Historically, he doesn't win after April, though, right?
That this last week was his first week after tax day. I think I saw on the broadcast mentioned that he did, this would be his first win after the Masters, because he doesn't statistically win. And I forget if it was Trevor Immelman or somebody. And he just goes, well, that's just financially responsible.
Right.
Hey, speaking of Trevor Immelman, listening to the broadcast, he is really good.
He is. Yeah, he's really, solid. Really solid.
Mm-hmm.
I think between him and Jim Nantz and Dottie Pepper, that's just that's a squad nice I want to listen to.
Yep.
I can listen to them all day.
Yep.
CBS does a nice job.
Yep. And Immelman, I mean, he's knowledgeable. Obviously, he's played out there. He's a major champ. He won the Masters. Mm-hmm. But his takes are usually pretty spot on.
Pretty
he doesn't
solid.
Exaggerate. He's got a little humor, too. I think he and Nantz get along.
Yep.
They're fun to listen to.
Yep. Yeah. To your point that he's a major champion, he's been out there. I mean, he provides a player insight that is very valuable, kind of what's going through. Or when they do, like they did the walk and talk with Tom Hoagie on, what was that, Saturday?
Yes.
And I think he knows what questions to ask because he's been there. He's done that. You know, what would I have asked myself in this situation? Good questions.
I like how he did that because he keeps the player, at least Tom that day, he keeps him focused on the hole that he's playing.
The shot that he,
versus taking him to, what were you thinking not getting into the Masters or something like that?
Something
it's like,
behind.
Hey, the 16th on this, what are you trying to do here?
Yeah.
And
that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, it'd be easy to just, a guy like Tom Hoagie, how do you feel about missing the Masters? How do you feel about being ranked 56th in the world? Do you think you should have made it? Do you think, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but they keep it to, hey, what's your strategy on this hole? What are you thinking about? And I think Tom stuffed it in there, maybe made birdie on 16.
And players usually play pretty well when they have to walk and talk.
And then he bogeyed 17 and 18 coming in.
Well,
And then he bogeyed his first hole on Sunday.
Yep. He just kind of
brutal
limped his way, and then he ended up making a 9 on his final hole.
So did we ever find out? So they were delayed. They had to finish Monday morning. Did Tom finish Sunday night, or did he come back and finish Monday morning?
You were saying he finished Sunday night, right?
I thought so, based on the Twitter engine, X, I guess it's X.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure he finished Sunday night. He was at least on 18 when they blew the horn.
And I went to his shot tracker and looked like he hit it out of bounds on 18. Which it's golf, anything can happen, but that's one of the widest fairways on PGA Tour.
Well, you just gave, if you're hitting driver, it's not. Because it's only 300, maybe even less, through the fairway to where it cuts
out. You hit
out.
It out of bounds.
Right, but I'm saying if you're hitting driver, you can't really go to the widest part of the fairway to the left because it's 290. It's 300 straight through. All these guys now hit it 315.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
driver.
Right, exactly. But Tom's not necessarily been known to be the most conservative player when it comes to pressure situations. You know, you talked to him. You said, you know, what is your play? You play away from pins. And he's like, I just go right at it. I feel like my short game is pretty good.
Right.
That's right.
Well, I would venture a guess he'd like to have that hole back because that cost him. So those elevated events, it's double the points for FedEx points. He was sitting in probably
top 10. I think he was seventh at the time.
And to do that, boy, you know, I'm sure nobody regrets it more than him. But yeah, to make a 9 and drop from
finish top 25?
He was top 25. Okay. I think he was 17th or 19th or something there.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
It is. That's, he did talk about how uncomfortable he was over the irons, but he did start playing a little smarter. Cause everybody was saying, like we said on the show last week, that he statistically is the second best iron player behind Scottie Scheffler.
Right.
And then it was funny. They gassed him up. And then the first hole, I think on Saturday, he missed the green and that was the worst possible shot you could do. What a horrible start for Tom Hoagie. And he was just doomed from the start. I don't think they were,
around inside.
I don't think they were necessarily rooting for Tom Hoagie over Scottie Scheffler in that scenario. But that was one of the. I mean, we briefly touched on it, but Scottie Scheffler, I don't know that was anything special the first day. I think he shot 2 under the first day.
Yeah, that's right.
And then won by 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hum.
Ludwig Åberg was up there though again. That's
your
my guy.
Your guy. Yep.
He fell on Sunday. He did. He just could not get his stuff together.
Happens to the best of them.
Yeah. But it's going to be interesting who steps up. I think it's going to take a combination. Scotty's going to probably have to take his foot off the accelerator a little bit, which may happen with life changing. Yep. And then you're going to need guys like Åberg and some of these guys that have that game to step up and close the gap. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we are probably, I feel pretty confident saying that we're probably in an era where we're witnessing some of the greatest golf on all levels. Just the talent alone that's playing golf, both PGA, LPGA, Korn Ferry, everywhere. I think there's some of the best golf being played right now. And watching it on the weekends. And then, I mean, even we'll get into a little bit, but like Korn Ferry Tour, there was a 15-year-old. He's a sophomore in high school at the oldest. Is top 25.
Wow.
In Korn Ferry. He actually qualified in for the next event, and then he got an exemption into PGA Tour event. Is it the Barracuda or the Bermuda, something or other?
Have you seen him? Is he a bigger kid, or is it just...
I saw a video.
He's a lanky... I mean, he's probably tall for a 15-year-old. It was tough to judge, but I saw his stock yardages. His driver's 280. You know, his wedges are 100 yards. You know, it's not like he's bombing the ball through there, but got to be a good player if you're going to be... Like, Korn Ferry Tour, I think, is notorious for going low. They'll eat up courses. Right. They don't exactly set up those courses super difficult. So to hang with those guys and make that many birdies, I think he finished with a bogey, I think, which... It is what it is. But at one time, he was like top five at 15.
Wow. And what's his name?
Miles Russell.
Russell?
Russell. Miles Russell.
All right. Okay.
Watch
for him.
There's your generational talent. Hopefully, it stays, because I think it's easy now in this day and age, too, to just label somebody the next Jack Tiger.
Right.
Name them. And then 3 years down the road, you're like, oh, by the way, whatever happened to
Ty Tryon? Remember that name? Ty Tryon. He was young like that.
Yep.
And making waves. How about our guy, Van Holmgren?
He missed the cut. Frankie Sappen played well. I think it, like I said, I forget what week that was, but Van just, he kind of catches lightning in a bottle, and he just makes, when he makes birdies, it's birdies on birdies on birdies on birdies. And that's kind of what he needs, I think. Sure. So it looked like he was a couple over for the week. Which makes it tough, obviously, if you're not making the birdies. Yep. So,
and for those that don't know, I mean, Van played at NDSU, teammate of yours, Lucas. He ended up transfer portal, played Florida Gulf Coast.
Yep.
Florida Gulf Coast. Really talented fella from the Twin Cities.
Yep.
He's out there, had some little bit of success on the Korn Ferry. So it'll be fun to see these guys. Yeah.
If you ever watch him, you can't miss him. He's a giant. So he's like 6. Told I think him. He's... 6'8" on the roster. He's probably 6'7".
Wow. 6'7". Weren't you mistaken in the airports for a basketball team? You'd be wearing your Bison stuff.
My freshman year, all five of us walked on the plane. It's a short little commuter to Twin Cities.
Yeah.
And we got on there. And we're all decked out in our Bison. It says golf on there, but sat down next to a guy. I'm unlucky, so I'm sitting next to a random guy. And I'm the only guy on the team that's under 6 foot. 5'11". I was point that guard. Close. Yep, point guard. Sit down, and the guy looks at me dead in the eyes. He goes, "So who are you guys playing in basketball this week?"
And you're like, "What?" You should have just ran with it.
Well, I was like, "Well, I'm not sure who the team is, but we're flying down to North Carolina or wherever we were going.
Play the Tar Heels."
Yeah. So, yeah, we had Van was 6'7". Nick Myrie was like 6'3".
Jeez.
Andrew Israelson was 6'1". He'll probably say he's 6'2". Van Holmgren.
Will Holmgren was 6'3". Yeah.
And I was 5'11". Point guard.
Yep.
And then that all changed. The height differential changed when the next year when we got Nate DeZiel on the team. Yes. He brought that average down a little bit. But I got a picture of Nate and Van standing next together. I still think it's one of the funniest. We were out in New York. It was hilarious.
That's what's fun about this game, though. I mean, your stat, it probably helps to be tall and lanky. But you can play great golf being 5 foot nothing.
Nate DeZiel, he's a conference champion.
Yes.
Nate DeZiel is.
Yeah.
And he hammers the ball.
Crushes.
He still gets it out there 315, 320, you know? And he just, efficiency is kind of what I always say. If you can find the center of the face, that's good. We'll keep on the greatness train. And then you got, that's Korn Ferry. Then you got Nelly Korter on the LPGA side. Five in a row.
That's remarkable.
She just won the Chevron Championship, which is a ladies' major. It's their first major of the year.
Okay.
Her golf, I think Nelly Korter might have the best swing in golf, period. I mean, you look at that swing, it's like machine. We talk about Ludwig Åbergs, but Nelly Korter's, it just doesn't, there's nothing can go wrong. It's unbelievable. Wow. And I think she with five in a row. She's the first player to do that since
Annika.
Annika.
It's and like, it's been a while. Nancy Lopez did it as well.
Lopez, yep.
Okay. Those are elite names in women's golf.
Yes. That is, yeah, I mean, it's so you think about it. I think Annika's, she was the queen and Arnold Palmer was the king, I think, when they were kind of going around the same time. That's
Annika's
why
the, not that old.
No.
No, not, okay, but I think she was labeled as like the queen of golf because the Royal Club down in Lake Elmo in yeah. the cities, it was Arnold Palmer and Annika designed, okay. co-designed it.
Okay.
That's how I knew that one.
She played this weekend too in the, so the Champions Tour does Champions, a deal yeah. with yeah. celebrities.
Yeah.
And she was in the running for, on the celebrity side.
Yeah.
Okay.
But her golf swing looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, she's always been, they had a nice documentary going on Golf Channel about Annika's life and how she went through all that.
How it's old
really,
is she?
Really good.
What'd you guess?
She's got 60? A 13-year-old son, 12-year-old 50. Son.
I would guess she's, well, she played in the senior U.S. Open, I think, last year. So she must be early 50s.
Yeah. Okay.
Early 50s.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
50, 51, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it's one of those things where you can watch any golf that's on, whether it's Golf Channel or whatever, and you're going to see some good golf.
Yeah. Agreed. Right now.
I would say Korda's run is probably more impressive than Annika and Nancy Lopez, just because the depth of field right now. Yeah, in you're the starting to get game. That.
You got like Brooke Henderson's out there, Lydia Ko playing. I mean, you got probably four or five that can all.
Yep.
Lexi Thompson, which she hasn't done a whole lot recently, but she's always a name to watch there too.
Do they do four majors like
yep.
the men?
Yep.
So what her odds are to win all the majors?
I don't know about all the majors, but she's got Scottie Scheffler odds for the next tournament at like 450, yeah. 400
sure.
to win the next one.
Sure. Okay.
So on both major tours, you're witnessing some of the greatest runs in golf right now, yep. which they always talk is golf streaky. So check back in a year or whatever, but it sure feels like we're in a Tiger-esque era in both runs where it's like, if there's in the field, you're playing for second place.
Yep.
If those two are, but speaking of Tiger Woods run, I found that this is my stat, another okay. stat of the day of Tiger Woods. So we talk about, Tiger's greatest season was 2000, where he had 11 wins and his worst finish was T23. Wow. So he was never outside of the top 25, 11 wins. If you would have taken his earnings from 2000 and turned them into today's earnings playing for those purses,
okay.
in 2000, Tiger Woods won $10,703,749. Pretty decent.
Good. Solid.
Turn that into 2024 money, $92,333,970.
Wow. That's crazy.
$92 million just playing golf.
That's unbelievable.
Scotty's.
Yeah, what's Scotty at?
Scotty has made, I think before this week, he was at like $16
million. Okay.
In the last like five starts or whatever they said for him.
Yeah.
And Ted Scott, his caddy, is like the 15th highest or 50th highest point, money earner.
I saw that too.
On the PGA Tour.
On the PGA Tour. Well,
that's what caddy. I remember about Stevie Williams caddying for Tiger back in the day. He was, yeah, there's a stat fun. Like that.
Yeah, where it's just you get on the right bag.
God,
that's not bad.
That'd be the dream.
But $92 million, hypothetically. $10 million is probably a lot in 2000 anyway.
Well, and he's earning it. I mean, versus the LIV guys that just got paid that.
You got right, yeah.
shown up.
Right? I mean, wow. Where's all this money coming from?
Well, I mean, now they have it. You've got PGA Tour turned into for-profit, so they've got the Boston Sports Group. We were just making fun of those guys, but keep winning championships, you get more money. So owners of like the Boston Red Sox, Patriots, stuff on the East Coast, Fenway Group, I think, is what they called. So they pushed a bunch of cash into it now.
Okay.
So, and then sponsors, big time sponsors. But I think for next year they're losing some sponsors. Wells Fargo ended theirs. Farmers ended theirs at Torrey Pines. Maybe a couple other. So,
great.
Interesting stuff. But
how about on a local scene? What do we got going?
Local scene, the NDSU women are at conference right now. I think today's their final day. Been middle of the pack. Maddie Hicks, though, I believe sophomore, is she was top 15 going into today, which is Tuesday. And then the Bison men, a little bumpy the last couple, but every once in a while you got to have it. You just got to peek at conference. So I think their conference is not next week, the week after.
Yep, 4 days from now.
Okay. 4 days. Yep. And so that's.
How about our gal Leah? How did she do after her wrist injuries?
Leah, I mean, she had a couple wrists. It gave her the green light, play at conference. She was, I think she shot 78 the first day, kind of middle pack. So
it's always bad weather for conference. What's going on with the weather?
Yeah, now? I haven't heard too much because they moved it now. So they're not at they're not in Newton, Kansas. They're in
Missouri, aren't they? Or somewhere?
Missouri. No? I was going to say Louisville.
Louisville, Kentucky. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Because it was a whole deal. So I actually don't know.
I don't know why they just don't go to Vegas or Phoenix.
Well, we talked about it when I was there. We talked about everybody else wanted to drive. We were the only team that flew down there.
Oh.
And so, because we were the northernmost team, and then UND got added. So, it sounded like everybody wants to drive with the most team. You got six coaches that all vote, we need somewhere to drive, and two coaches that say, we don't care, we just want warm weather. You get outvoted every time.
Okay, that's makes sense. Well, good luck to them.
Yeah, it'll be good. They worked hard all season, and now you just got to go earn it.
How about high schoolers? What's going on in the high school?
We got just came back from South Dakota last year on the North Dakota side, or last week on the North Dakota side. We played at Village Green last Monday. Shanley, we were third. Red River won all three of our meets this last week. Davies was up there in second. And then Cheyenne and like West Fargo was up there too.
Okay. So Red River's kind of. Red establish Rivers, themselves. Yep,
they've got four guys that are solid players. Mm-hmm. It was interesting going down to South Dakota. I was joking with a couple of them that, you know, we try and go down to South Dakota because it's supposed to be nicer than Fargo.
A little warmer.
Mm-hmm. It was 40 degrees blowing 40 miles an hour. Oof. One day. And the next day it was 30 degrees blowing 30 miles an hour. And I had to call Coach Kennedy and to apologize because I found a new level of cold. I always made fun of them sitting on the cart for how cold they look. It's cold.
Yeah.
When you're not walking and swinging, it's cold. So this week, we only have one varsity tournament this week. We're going to Grand Forks on Wednesday, tomorrow, which hopefully weather looks decent. So
Country Club or Kings Walk?
Kings Walk.
Okay.
So that, and then we've already got state qualifiers coming up next week. It's going to move fast. Wow. It's going to be a fast couple months. So it's going to be good. It's going
to
be good.
We'll have to check in on the Minnesota side, too, and see what's going on. Maybe
haven't heard on Spuds maybe, how they're doing. Or?
Yeah, if it works out, maybe we get Coach on, Brady Robertson.
Yep.
That'd be good.
See what they're up to.
Yeah. Yep. This next week on PGA, we got a different style tournament. We got a partner event. Is it best ball all 3 days? I forget what the format is.
I'm not sure.
They don't play a scramble.
Do an alternate shot, or is it just best ball?
I thought it was best ball all 3 days.
All 3 days. I thought so.
That could be.
But team event. It's the Zurich Classic, which Tom Hoagie won this one
a couple years ago
with Sahith Theegala. DraftKings is a little funky. You can't draft both players on the same team.
That's right.
Right? So
that's
like correct. Shane Lowry, Rory McIlroy, you can't have them on the same team. But they receive the same points anyway. So it doesn't
pick one.
I've seen a lot that says this is just a go with your gut week, kind of whoever you think.
Who won it last year? Anybody remember?
Yes.
Okay.
Not at the moment, but
no
I
worries.
Don't.
Okay.
I did. I looked at it earlier. But
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question.
But you know, an event like this, I'd look at partners and see if there's some course history on these guys. That
course history, good knowledge. They're at TPC Louisiana. Knows where we're at, which is even though it's a TPC course, it's Pete Dye design. It's almost flipped from Harbortown, where this is a big driver golf course. You want to hit driver. It's not necessarily as tight as Harbortown was per se. But
Well, I got a team. Did you guys do a team?
I have not.
I got one going. And I just went McIlroy and Lowry.
Yep.
You think
and
so?
And Morikawa and Kitayama.
Mm.
And Fitzpatrick brothers.
I like it.
Right. I think it's a crapshoot. Those two guys intrigue me.
How do you think you guys would do as brothers at this event, as at a two-person event? Does the familial bond get in the way?
Hmm. Depends on if it's best ball. Just going out and playing, but if alternate shot, that might be a little different deal. I'm going to put Mark in places he's never hit from.
Yeah, I think trying back in the day, did we play like the Edgewood best ball together once?
Yep,
you were young. You were in high school and I was in college.
Yep.
And we played.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. I think we did. And I think one particular round, I remember, I think we shot 69 and I shot 69.
That sounds right.
No, I think the team shot 68 and I shot 69.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Mm-hmm. Played a lot with Grandpa.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
You guys were a good team.
We were solid. We won Meadows a few times.
The old ham and egg.
Ham and egg. Ham and egg. It wasn't pretty, but it was effective.
Yes, you guys were good.
Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah, okay.
But so the brothers, I wonder what's going to happen with Fitzpatrick. I think his younger brother has something to prove there. So,
Yeah, they were on the full swing episode.
That's right.
He's a good player. He's a good stick. I think this was, they were talking about they had this tournament on the episode.
That's right.
Where he kind of had something to prove. But there's three brother teams in the field. You've got the Højgaards, Nikolaj and Rasmus. You got the Fitzpatrick, Alex and Matt. And then you've got the, who was there at the last one?
Yeah, there was one.
Cooties.
The Cooties.
Oh, yeah, the
Parker
Cooties.
And Pearson Cootie. So you could Cooties. Throw the brother team. You could make a brother team and a Canadian team. Isn't that what you were talking about,
Chuck? Now that I hear it's a PGA, I think in Asians.
Hmm. Are there Asian teams?
Oh, yeah, I just saw a few.
Yep. So I did. That's how I rounded out my team. I got Kevin Tway and somebody Kraft, but Kevin played well on the PGA Tour event that offset.
The opposite field?
The opposite field. I thought he had a top three finish. So he's hot hand coming into this. And then just to make my team work, I have somebody, Du and Jan.
Du and Jan?
One more time?
What's the names?
Du and Jan.
Du and Jan.
No, I just.
It was Du and Jan.
Du and Jan.
Jan and Du.
Jan and Du.
I don't know them, but. They were in my budget.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. So.
Is this a cut event? Do they cut at this event?
I believe they do.
That's a good question, too.
Yeah. I remember last year kind of sweating out a cut by a team, if I remember.
But you got some old timers playing in this.
Yep.
You were saying.
Cochran, lefty from back in the 80s.
He's playing with Eric Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
So.
When they got Cooch and Stricker as a team.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Smooth Temple Town.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
What do we got going around here? Anything?
We get signups are open for our junior lessons. Those are filling up quick. Those will start after school's out. So like second week in June, I believe. As far as May goes, we've got Adult Learn to Play. I think we're full there. So we might look at opening another session. Otherwise, it's full steam ahead. We got trivia going on Tuesdays. Purse Bingo. When this comes out, I think is happening last Wednesday every month.
That's right.
Live music.
Our PGA Hope program still
PGA Hope's
going.
Kicking.
We have one more session that's going to start probably in May.
End of May, 20 if the 22nd's a Wednesday.
End of May. It's been very popular. It's limited to the first 15 that sign up. So if you know a veteran that's thinking about taking up the game, or they've played forever and want a little instruction, it is geared a little more towards somebody that's beginning in golf or wants a refresher because they're coming back to the game. I mean, if you're an accomplished player, maybe this lesson's not for you because we're talking a lot of general terms, but it's a great program. Free of charge lessons for veterans. Just go to our website. You can find out more information about that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yep. Good group of guys and gals that come through there. We have a lot of fun. That's the main thing. So hopefully we get some weather open. We got to get this patio open here.
We had it open for one weekend.
That's right. Yeah, it was 70 degrees. It came out Masters weekend, actually. That was a great way to watch the Masters.
Just
kick back. But it's right around the corner.
You're working on a new projector up there, Chuck?
That's right. We think there's a great opportunity to have a projector screen up against the landscape to allow watch the Twins or golf or whatever it might be.
I like it.
So we're working through that. So hopefully in the next week or so.
First.
I think that'll be a pretty cool little atmosphere.
Awesome.
All right, we just got a text real time from Bobby Knutson.
Oh boy, it's going to make the cut.
Our Scheffler connection.
There it is.
He asked me if I'm missing a sports coat.
Wearing that jacket. He's got a picture of
on the plaid jacket.
He's got a picture of Scheffler holding the tartan. I think that's officially tartan. That's actually made in Scotland.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they go all out. They got the kilts and everything.
Is that for the heritage tourney? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
nice. You got to get one of those, Mark.
How many jackets are in? So, well, Scotty's got quite the collection. He's got the tartan jacket. He's got the green jacket. He's got Arnold Palmer's sweater. Mm. Is there one more jacket that's on tour?
Yeah, there's like five of them.
Five jackets.
Okay.
It's like the Infinity Gauntlet. I don't know if you guys watch the Marvel movies.
You got to get all the foreign language right
Infinity
now.
Stones. You need all the jackets. Nick would have gotten that if he was here, but he's not here.
Okay,
all right. All right, but we need to connect with Bob Knutson, and we need to have him on the show live from Ivan's Barbershop.
Yep.
That's my vision for that. We bring in Bob.
Let's do it.
And maybe we even interview Ivan a little bit.
Sure.
Get him to talk about
it. As Bob's getting a cut.
Yes.
We'll just see what Ivan's got. He can throw in a couple 2 cents.
Scotty Scheffler's barber.
Distract him. He just butchers Bob's hair. That'd be great. Sorry, Bob. Wait a second. Does Bob have a lot of hair? I'm trying to remember. He's more like you.
He's got more than me. I guarantee you that.
Okay. Kind of between you and me.
He's got to go to the barber.
That's fair.
Periodically.
Okay. All right.
Got to keep it sharp.
Yep.
Keep it sharp. All right. Anything else? Final parting words?
Nope. Get out there, play some golf. Come here, play some golf. And
here we go.
Grab a friend, grab some family, and enjoy some time together.
Game on. All right, there you have it. That's going to do it for us on this round. Join us next week for another round at Sweet Shots. We'll catch you next time.